two places, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. Now the fellows that do the sound, they in the live stream gonna think I messed up, but I didn't. First, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3, all right? Philippians chapter 3. After you find your place there in Philippians chapter 3, open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Well, Philippians chapter 3, then Ecclesiastes chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me give you two more announcements. One, pray for Brother Pike. Pray for his family. His dad passed away this last week. And pray for them as they prepare and get ready for funeral service. And obviously pray for Brother Pike and that void in his life now that his dad's gone on to heaven. The good thing is his dad got saved in lifetime. And we know he's with the Lord, all right? There's a great blessing, all right? I don't know any other better comfort than that. There is no greater comfort in death than knowing your loved one is with the Lord. The other prayer request is one. We've had a young lady on our prayer list for over a year. That's Hannah Leek. And if you would, I want you to keep praying for her. Brother Leek sent out an email this week, and it had an attachment in there with a video, and I listened to it. They think, finally, that they've got a doctor in the hospital that will do the surgery that their daughter needs, that Hannah needs. So pray that that'll happen. He said in that video, maybe even before Christmas, it will get done. And so would you pray towards that end? He said his daughter said, I would just like to be well again. And so would you pray for her? And pray that that'll take place. Then I want to present this out there for you to think about it. Brother Leek said there may be obviously some extra expense for them. And Brother Leek, as you know, is a church planner. He's trying to plant a church over in Allen, Texas. And it's not a wealthy position, okay? So they might need some help. So you might consider praying about if God would help and ask you and God would want you to help them and maybe give towards that expense of theirs. You just pray about it, seek God's will, and we'll take up an offering. Not today. I'm not going to do it today. Well, I'll get in touch with Brother Leek and talk to him about it, make sure. But I'd just like for him to know that, we can help him, all right, and we will help. So you pray about what the Lord will have you do. He said, preacher, it's Christmas. I know that. Most of us spend a lot more money than we should at Christmas. And just to be a blessing to somebody, all right? So would you pray about that? You see what God would have you to do, all right? Okay, surely by now you found Philippians 3 and Ecclesiastes 1. If you haven't, just look intelligently at whatever page you're looking at, all right? Now, we're going to start in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I want you to look at one verse, verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Solomon was the one who's writing here and the one who said what we just read. And God in his wisdom had him record it for us today. Solomon was a man that had what everybody today wants. I mean, you'd stop and think about it. He had it all. He had riches beyond compare. Absolutely beyond compare. He had power that was unrivaled, all right? He had more wives than he knew what to do with, all right? He said, preacher, I don't want a lot of wives. Well, I don't want to say it that way, but in this day in which we live, where there's so much emphasis on the flesh and sensuality, you understand what I'm saying, that people today want what they don't need, okay? And but he had those things, and with all of that going for him, he also had a thing that most of us wish we had more of, and that's time. Most of us like to have a little more time. I wish sometimes there was another day in the week. I definitely occasionally wish there were more hours in a particular day, all right? So he had the financial resources. He had the satisfaction of life. He had the power. He had the time that he could invest. So the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, he went looking for what he could find. He went looking for what he find, all right? Had all the recesses for that endeavor, so he had it, went at, and what he found, though, disappointed him. It wasn't satisfaction that he got, and what he found is, and he gives us his conclusion in verse 14. We just read verse 13. Verse 14 says, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, it's all just vanity and vexation of spirit, all right? And what he concluded, though, is not considered by most people to be correct today. He said, how do you know that? Because all the real wealthy people in this world are still trying to prove him wrong. They're still trying to prove him wrong. By the way, none of them have, none of them will. That's why you find a lot of rich people commit suicide. A lot of famous people commit suicide. Why? Well, you say, why would they do that? They have it all. Yeah, but they found out that what they found wasn't enough. What they found wasn't enough. Hey, that was the problem with Solomon. The problem was that Solomon did not know what to look for. He didn't know what to look for. The Apostle Paul did. So I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You see, Solomon was looking for everything man did. And it didn't satisfy him, but the Apostle Paul knew what to look for. And if you look there in Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul said this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He knew what to look for. You say, well, what should I look for? The answer is real simple. You ought to look for Jesus Christ. You ought to look for him. Paul said it this way, that I may know him. That I may know him. Our problem in this world, so many people, we're so overcome with fame and famous people, and we think, oh, if I could just meet so-and-so. If I could just shake their hand, maybe some entertainer, maybe some movie star, or maybe some athlete. Oh, if I could just meet them. But Paul had it. He said, that I may know him. That I may know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, look, can I say this to you? Quit looking for wealth. Quit looking for wealth. Quit looking for an adrenaline rush. That's something that's come out in the last, few years. I want an adrenaline rush. And you see these people jumping off, with bungee cords and, boing, and doing that kind of thing. And people putting on these, I'm not even sure, I think you call them some kind of flying suits, and they'll jump off a high peak, and spread out, and they'll glide a long ways. And people looking for adrenaline rushes. And over you hear people dying doing that kind of thing, all right, and getting killed doing it. Hey, quit looking for that. Quit looking and seeking for satisfaction in the things of this old world. Quit looking for self-fulfillment in this old world. Quit looking for happiness. You want to look for something, you look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, three areas, look for him in the past, far the past. You said, what in the world do you mean? Hey, my past and your past was affected by the actions of Adam and Eve long ago in the Garden of Eden. Boy, it had an effect on us. You said, preacher, you believe those are real people? Yep, I do. Adam and Eve, they didn't have a last name because you didn't need a last name in those days. It was just Adam and Eve. God made Adam, then he made Eve, and everybody that lives on this earth today has them as their great, 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 ever how many times you want to say great grandparents, okay? And we're kin to them, all right? We are, and so we have that. But they did something. They sinned. They sinned there in the Garden of Eden, and because of that, the Bible says death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Hey, that's our past, okay? My problem, your problem, we're sinners. We're sinners. And I like to stand here and tell you, hey, I'm okay, you're okay, and I'd be lying. Hey, I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. That's the truth. And we struggle because of that, all right? We struggle because of that. The only fix for that problem is to look to Jesus Christ. The only fix there is, right? Because only He can give you salvation. Only He can forgive you of your sins, all right? You can't come to me and say, preacher, I need you to get me forgiveness of my sin. I can't do it. Neither can anybody else. You don't let anybody deceive you. You can't come and pay your way out of it, all right? You can't do it. Now, man, if you had the wealth of the richest individual in the world today, and I don't know who that is and don't really care, but if you had all of that riches, you couldn't pay your way out of your sinful condition. Couldn't pay for your sin, all right? But the only one that can deliver you is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. Has to be that way. But even the Lord Himself, when He was on this earth, said, you need to look to me. In John chapter 15, or John chapter 12 and verse 32, He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Hey, we need to look to Him. We need to look to that one that was put on that cross. I just want to tell you something. I'm so glad to testify that I looked and He saved me. He took care of that problem, that sin problem from the past, that problem of the fact that, hey, I was a sinner by nature on my way to hell, but I trusted Him as my Savior. He took care of that. Why? I looked to Him. I looked to Him. Look, that's the only cure. If you've not done that, you're in your sin. You're in your sin. That's it. That's you. You're still there. You need to look to Him. Need to look to Him. I'm not telling you look to me, follow my example. No, I'm telling you look to Jesus Christ. Take Him as your Savior. Take Him. Trust Him today. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to Him for your past, all right? But hey, wait a minute. Look to Him for the present, too. Look to Him for the present. Boy, it would be wonderful if I could say to you, when I got saved, God made me perfect. And I've been perfect ever since. But man, that'd be a perfect lie. He didn't make me perfect. All right? The truth of the matter is salvation didn't take care of all my problems. Now, if you find the right person today, they'd tell you all kinds of problems they think I have. All right? And if you find that person somewhere way maybe back yonder that got mad at me, and they're still mad and nursing that grudge for all these years, they could tell you, boy, man, is he forever not? Just let me feel your ear, all right? You know, I sometimes tell you, don't be talking to my brother too much. He knows me. He knows me. And I say, you start talking to him, I'll start telling what I know about him, all right? Yeah, we know that. Why? Hey, salvation didn't make us perfect. I've still got some problems. You still have some problems. Many of you sitting here this morning, you've saved. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. But wait a minute, you still have some troubles. Still have some problems. And I tell you what, you came here today for an encouraging word. This particular statement's not going to be it. You're going to have troubles and trials and problems in this life. And I don't care who you are, okay? I don't care who you are. And I know a lot of people, they say, well, if I just had more money, it'd cure my problems. No, but it might give you a different set of problems. You go and talk to a lot of these people that won these amazingly huge payouts on the lottery. Ask them, did it solve your problems? Man, it gave them different problems. Gave them different problems to deal with. Hey, you're going to have problems in this life. You can count on it. Even if you've been born again, you're still going to have problems. We're going to have issues. You say, why can't we get over it? Well, hey, we've still got this old body of flesh we live in. We still have to deal with other people that live in that same old flesh, all right? We still have to deal with them, all right? The preacher has trouble. Oftentimes people say the preacher has trouble because he has to deal with the deacons. Hey, that's really not necessarily so, all right? But we have trouble. We have trouble in this old world. Why? We still live in a body of flesh. Still live in this body of flesh. But I want you to look at a couple of verses with me in the Bible, would you? I want you to go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 34. Psalm 34. And once you find Psalm 34, I want you to go a little further over in the Psalms to Psalms 120, okay? So we're looking at two different Psalms, Psalm 120 and Psalm 34, okay? You said, I've told you, here we are, and what you need to do and what I need to do is we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to Him for our present. Psalm 34, all right? Are you there? Verse 4, would you look at verse 4? The Bible said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now notice, I sought the Lord, He heard me. He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Now Psalm 120, Psalm 120. The Bible said in Psalm 120, verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. He heard me. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this morning, you got troubles, you got problems in the present. You know what you need to do? You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to look to Him. You need to look to Him. You need to cry out to Him. Well, you say, well, if I do, will He hear me? Says He will. He's promised this man over and over and over throughout the Bible, if you'll call, He'll answer. He said, you call, I'll hear you. He heard the cry of the psalmist. The psalmist said, He delivered me from all of my fears. All right? Psalmist in chapter 120 said, it was in my distress I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. And the Lord's not in the business of saying, tough luck, Charlie. He hears you, and you cry unto Him. He's in the business of helping. All right? I'll tell you the truth. I go looking for the Lord Jesus Christ when I get into trouble. Because I know He's the one can get me out. I know He's the one can get me out. And I cry out to the Lord. Now listen, that doesn't mean maybe that you just cry out to Him and say, okay, Lord, you got to take care of this. There may be things you have to do, but you need to get His help, all right? You need to get His help. Hey, He may direct you to somebody else, too, to give you some more help. But we ought to cry out to Him. We ought to seek that. I need it. Hey, even better, if you'll look for Him beforehand, He can keep you out of a lot of the trouble you get in. He can keep you out of a lot of the trouble you can get into. If you'll just seek Him, seek His way. Lord, I'm going to do it Your way. You'd be surprised how much trouble you can stay out of. It is a lot easier to stay out of trouble than it is to get out of trouble. A lot easier. I've told you before, I go to bed at night. When I go to bed, I'll oftentimes turn on the TV because I'm not necessarily sleepy, but it's time to go to bed. And I'll lay down in the bed and I'll turn on the TV because I know if I watch it a little bit, it'll make me sleepy. So I turn it on, I turn on to YouTube. And I've got to watching this thing. It's Matt's off-road towing. And this guy, man, he goes out in Utah, and he goes these people driving these four-wheel drive vehicles. I've never seen people get in so much mess in all my life. Okay? I mean, they'll bury it up to the axles in sand, in a lake, or in mud, or they'll turn a vehicle over. They're trying to go up four-wheeling. I'm looking at that. Now, if you're a four-wheeler, okay, but I think you need your head examined, okay? You might want to think about it. It is amazing. I look at all of that, and I'm thinking, You know, I've never had that happen to me. I've never had that happen to me. But then again, I've never tried to do what they tried to do. And I've been happy in life. I've been happy, but I watch it. And I was watching one last night, just so happened last night, I flipped one on, and it said, you know, be careful, you know, when you don't tell your mama the truth. And they went out on this rescue deal where they're rescuing these teenage boys had gotten a truck stuck and it wouldn't start. And they'd told their mom, well, it's buried up, you know, and we're buried. And she said, well, I went out there and it wasn't buried up, but the truck wouldn't run. And so they called this Matt's Off-Road Towing, and he went to get them. And come to find out, what they'd done is they'd driven their truck through the lake. That'll cut them off, folks, okay? If you don't understand that, if you get in your vehicle in enough water, it will shut off, all right? You're going to have trouble. And, hey, but you know what? It's like this. That's why I say to you this morning, we can, if we'll look to Jesus beforehand, it's amazing how much trouble we can stay out of. If we'll look at what he says right here and do what he says, it's amazing how much trouble we can stay out of. Just being obedient. Hey, when I was growing up, I found a secret. I found the secret of staying out of trouble is do what I was told to do. I didn't have trouble if I would do what I was told to do. Just do it. Do it. Hey, I found out you didn't have to like the person who was telling you to do it either. I'll never forget 9th grade algebra class. Now, I liked algebra class in spite of this particular lady. I'm not going to call her name. I do remember her name, but you might be kin to her. All right, so I don't want to have to face you after the service, all right? So she was 9th grade algebra teacher, and I didn't like her. You know, to me, my terminology for her, she's kind of an old battle axe, okay? And I didn't care for her at all. But there was a girl that sat in that class, sat up on the front row and the very front of the class. And, man, she just couldn't do what that lady said. I almost called her name. She just could not do what she said. She was always in trouble. Always in trouble. I don't remember that girl's name. I'm sorry. So I don't remember what she, you know, but she was constantly, constantly in trouble, all right? And just why? Well, she wouldn't do what the teacher said. Wouldn't do what the teacher said. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never understood kids in school that would break the rules and then get mad because they got in trouble. Now, I don't understand that. Hey, can I just say this to you? If you get the guy on 820 and drive 90 miles an hour and you get pulled over by a police officer, don't be mad at the police officer. Don't get mad at them. Hey, they're enforcing the law. They didn't make the law. They're enforcing the law. You broke the law. Don't get mad at them because they enforce it. Don't get upset with them. Hey, don't get mad at God when he gives you a whipping because you do what he said not to do. Don't get mad at God. It's not God's fault. But I'm saying to you, if you'd look to Jesus before you did it, you might be surprised how much trouble you could stay out of. How much trouble you could avoid. I deal with people from time to time that sit down and begin to tell me the problem and what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, some of them have dug a very, very deep hole to try to get out of. You listen to me, all right? You listen to me. You dig that hole doing wrong. And you dig for a long time, don't expect God to bail you out in a heartbeat. It took a long time for you to get in that deep. It may take a long time for you to get out of it. But I'm just up here preaching to you this morning saying, why don't you try looking to him before you do? You can avoid that problem. You can avoid that trouble. You can avoid the pain. You can avoid the hurt. Just look to him. Look to him. You just help yourself, all right? You'll see what he says and what he does and what he wants and do it his way. Man, you spare yourself a lot of trouble. Hey, look to him for the past. Look to him for the present. And whatever you do, look for him for the future. For the future. Say, preacher, the future looks pretty bleak to me. And we think about it. We think about, hey, I think about the direction our nation's going. Our nation, right? And I think about the direction it's going. And I'll be honest, yeah, in that sense, you say, well, it looks pretty bad. Looks pretty bad. You say, preacher, it looks pretty bad for my job. My career is being phased out, and I don't know if there's going to be a place for me in the company anymore. I'm just telling you, the future looks pretty bleak. Well, that's because you don't know what to look for. Because you don't know what to look for. Take your Bible with me. Let's go to the book of Titus. Over in the New Testament, after the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, is the book of Titus. Titus, and I want you to look, if you will, in chapter 2 of Titus. Chapter 2 of Titus. We're going to look at a verse, and you say, what do we need to look for? Here's where you need to look for when it comes to the future, all right? Titus 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you looking for? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to tell you this, the future looks bright for the child of God. If you're a child of God, things are looking good. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back. That's what he's saying there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. That blessed hope of the child of God is his soon return. That is the blessed hope for us. The Christian's hope, by the way, is not a gamble. It's a sure thing. It's guaranteed by the Word of God. It is not something that you just, well, maybe, perchance. No, it's guaranteed by the Word of God. That's the blessed hope for us. I'm saying to you, we'll be looking for that. Therefore, you should not be discouraged. Don't be downhearted. Don't be depressed by the times in which we live. Oh, we do. We live in some dark days. We live in, I guess we could say we live in depressing times, disheartening times, and things that go on. Yeah, they're discouraging. But I'm saying, don't be that way, all right? Don't be downhearted. I remember years ago we used to sing in the youth department, and even younger, there's a chorus that said, are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Troubles may come and troubles may go. We'll trust in Jesus. Come will or woe. Are we downhearted? Not since we started. No, no, no. You say, that's just a chorus. But it's got some truth behind it. Some truth behind it. We're not to be. Why? I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking for his glorious appearing. His glorious appearing. Hey, that appearing is the rapture. That's the rapture. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that time when he's going to come back. The trump of God's going to sound, the voice of the archangel, and we're going to hear that come up hither. All right? And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we're going to be changed. This mortal must put on immortality, all right? And that's what we're looking for, okay? His coming, that rapture, we're looking for that. But that's not all. Take your Bible over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Way over toward the end of the New Testament, the end of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible tells us something else we're to look for, okay? We're to look for this coming in the future. We're to be looking for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, look if you will, beginning reading in verse 10. The Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Oh man, what something to look forward to. The Bible said we're to look for the day of God. Notice what it said there in verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. We're to look for that to take place. That day of God, hurry it along if we can, all right? The day of God, to be honest with you, is the beginning of eternity. The Bible said the elements shall melt. There's going to, the old heaven, the old earth, they're going to be burned up. There'll be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Notice what the Bible says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness. Oh my, there'll be no sin there. You ever stop and think about that? There'll be no sin there. Hey, we sometimes people get excited about no thorns on the roses. Hey, I'm excited about no sin to deal with. Nothing to cause you to stumble. Nothing to cause you to let down the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to cause you to disappoint Him. There'll be no sin there. Hey, you'll not have to put up with it in yourself or in other people either. Now, we usually look at other people. Because we usually say, if you'd straighten out, I wouldn't have so much trouble. We don't look and think about, well, if I'd straighten out, maybe they wouldn't have so much trouble either. Hey, wherein dwelleth righteousness? We look for these things to come. Why? Because we're Bible believers. We believe this book. We believe it. We're expecting these things to happen. One of the things I would really dread is my house to burn. Because I would lose so many worthless things that are only valuable to me. But they are valuable to me. How about you? You understand what I'm talking about? It's stuff, but it's stuff that I value. Stuff that I want. Stuff that when I die, my kids will throw in the dumpster, okay? But while I'm alive, I'm hanging on to it, all right? It's important to me. But wait a minute, I'm looking for that great fire one day is going to burn this old world up. Hey, and that includes all of my stuff. All of your stuff. It's going to melt. Every bit of it's going to be gone. Why? Because I'm looking forward to that day. I'm excited to think about that day coming. But I want to say this to you. Because we're looking for that in the future, it needs to affect our present. Did you catch that when we were reading the scripture? Did you see that in verse 14? 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved? Hey, because all that's true. Because there is coming a day, the day of God's coming, and all that's here is going to be destroyed, and there's a new earth and a new heaven coming, and wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, because that's true, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace. In peace, without spot, and blameless. Oh, you ever think about that? Now, there's some other things, but we've got our hands full right there in those three things. Notice that ye may be found of Him in peace. Now, not peace with the devil. Not peace with this old wicked world, sinful world. But it ought to find us at peace. It ought to find us at peace with other Christians. It ought to find us at peace with those in the family of God. We shouldn't be at one another's throats. We shouldn't be. Now, God made us different. We have different likes and dislikes. You know, people look at my son and I next Saturday, God willing, we're going to be over at the Cowboys football stadium enjoying what we truly enjoy. It is our tradition at this time of year. Last three state championship high school football games will be played. We plan to be there to enjoy them. And it's kind of an all-day thing. All-day thing. Now, we don't care what our families do during that time. Y'all go have yourself a good time. We're doing our thing. Well, I don't like it. Well, you don't have to go with us, all right? But don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me because I enjoy it, okay? Hey, you may be an Ohio State fan. Okay. I hope they lose. But it's okay with me if you root for them, all right? We're different. But we ought to be at peace with one another. We ought to be at peace with one another. We ought to be at peace. Hey, something's wrong if we're not. And it's not wrong with God. It's wrong with us. It's wrong with us. We're to be at peace. Okay, we're going to keep moving. It's already getting uncomfortable, all right? But look what it says, the next two things, without spot and blameless. Just boiling it down, that's just simply living right, okay, and having a clean life. Living right, having a clean life. Well, living right according to you, preacher? No. According to this book right here. Just doing what this says. Hey, without spot. Okay, and blameless. Blameless. You say, give me an example. Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, he was serving the king. They began to look for a way to find fault with Daniel. They couldn't. They couldn't find any fault with him. He was without spot and blameless. You with me? He was blameless, without spot, blameless. They couldn't find anything to find fault with. So the only way they could find fault with him is pass a law that in order for him to obey that law, he's got to disobey his faith. And they knew Daniel. They said, he won't disobey his faith. He's going to obey, in the way we had said today, he's going to obey this book. So if we'll pass a law that makes it illegal to do what the Bible says you got to do, he said, we'll get him. We'll get him. Hey, that's without fault, without spot, and blameless. That's without spot and blameless. Okay? So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this. We say, man, I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. I'm so excited the day's going to come. The heavens are going to open, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call me to be with him, and I'm so excited about that time. I'm excited that one day this old world's going to burn up. And it's going to be gone, and everything's going to be new, a new heaven, a new earth. It'll all be there. I'm looking forward to that. The Bible said, good, now, take care of the way you live right now. So when he comes, you'll be found of him. He's going to find you in peace, without spot, and blameless. I want to ask you, what are you looking for today? What are you looking for today? There's a great old song. It says, I'm looking for Jesus to come someday. I'll ever keep singing along life's way. Now when the heavens unfold, I'll walk the streets of pure gold. I'm looking for Jesus to come someday. That's what I'm looking for. But when he comes, I want to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hey, is there something you need to work on? Because if he's to come today, he wouldn't find you that way. Maybe there is a spot here or there. Maybe there's some things that you're doing that he said don't do. Maybe there's some things you're not doing that he said you need to do them. Do them. Hey, are you at peace? Are you at peace? I'm just asking you, what's there? Maybe there's something need to be worked. Hey, that's why we come to this part of the service. We come to invitation time. We invite you to come. We're going to have a word of prayer, then we're going to have you stand. Song leader's going to come. We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. But that's an opportunity. It's an invitation for you to come. Make things right with God. It's not an invitation. Well, you just won't embarrass me. No, we don't embarrass you. Let me say this to you. If you come do business with God, there's nothing embarrassing about that. There's nothing embarrassing about doing business with God. It's what we all ought to do when it's needed. We ought to come. We ought to come to him. We ought to do that. You can come maybe kneel here at these steps. If you say, I can't kneel, me either, I'd have to sit at the front pew, do business with him. Boy, just do what God wants you to do, would you? Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the invitation time.